Today we are in part three of our study of the Church of Ephesus. I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm so glad you're joining me. Today we are studying how this church did not lose their first love. They left their first love. So often we misquote this verse. I have misquoted it for a long time. This church did not lose their love for Jesus. They abandoned it. And we're going to see the difference today. Well, I hope you enjoy today's sermon. This is part three of the Church of Ephesus in a greater series called the Seven Churches of Revelation. If you enjoy the sermons that you are hearing, I would love to know that you're listening. I'd love to know who you are. I'd love to know where you're from. It so excites me as people all over the country and even in other countries when they message in to say, Pastor Chad, we are growing. We are listening to your sermons. Oh, it's such an encouragement. And as those of you who follow our ministry, as you know, I'm completely blind. But when you email me, my AI device, well, it reads me each of your emails. So I hope you'll take a moment this week. If these sermons are speaking to your heart, send me a quick email. Let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know how I can pray for you. My email is very simple. It is PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com. Very simple. PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com. Well, I hope you enjoy today's edition of Awaken to Grace Radio.
I should have gotten you sooner. And I said, no, brother, it's okay. He said, you had drifted like between these steps and the stage steps. And he said, I looked down at my Bible. And he said, before I could even look back up, you were almost to the garage door. He listened to what he said. He said, you just kept taking baby steps. And listen, this is why I think the Lord actually allowed it, because I was mortified. I was so embarrassed. But let me tell you why I think the Lord allowed it for today, for this purpose. I did not even realize that my feet was moving. And I just kept drifting. I better not, because I'll fall off the stage. I'm not even going to illustrate it. But I did not even feel myself even moving. And this is where it's so easy to be spiritually. Oh, you can come to church. You can read your Bible. You can sing the songs. You can do all the religious things. You can pray before your meal. You can do all this stuff and not even realize. You can have all the external. You can serve in your ministry. You can be on the team. You can do whatever God's called you to do and not even realize that you've drifted in your heart and you've taken baby steps. And all of a sudden you go, how did I even get here? Isn't that fascinating? He says, you've lost. No. You've left your first love. And then he says, watch this. Now he gives the solution. Verse 5. Here's what you do if you've left your first love. Here's what you do. He says, number one, remember from which you've fallen. Go back. Go back to that place where you first fell in love with Jesus, where you read your Bible with passion, where you prayed with fervency, where you truly thanked God for the grace that he's had over your life and over your salvation. Jesus said, I'm going to help you. This is what you do. Go back. Remember. And then number two, look what he said. Repent. Repent for getting distracted. Repent for allowing yourself to drift. It's amazing. You know, so often in this culture, we preach repentance only to the lost, but the Bible preaches it both to the lost and to the church. And right here, he tells his people, the church, repent. How important. We quote the scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will come in and dine with him. That's Revelation 3:20. And we quote it at altar calls to the lost. But Jesus said that to the church, which we'll be at in 6 weeks, the church of Laodicea. He says, remember. He says, repent. And then thirdly, what's he say? Redo, repeat, go back to your first works. Go back to what you once did. You know, this is not only a word for the church, for Christians who have drifted. This is also a word for troubled marriages. I love doing marriage counseling. I do an enormous amount of marriage counseling. And do you know, I feel as strong of an anointing, the strong presence of the Holy Spirit in that counseling office back there than I do behind this pulpit. And I see God rescue marriage after marriage after marriage. And let me tell you why I believe, why I have hope that God can save your marriage. You say, Chad, if you knew my situation, you wouldn't feel that way. No, no. You say, Chad, if you knew what happened to me, you wouldn't say that. No. Let me tell you why I have hope. You say, Chad, you don't know my grounds for divorce. Well, do you realize that grounds for divorce is also grounds for forgiveness? And do you know why I have hope for marriages? Because of what this text teaches. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. If you have woken up and realized that you have fallen out of love with your spouse, let me tell you, Satan has fed you the greatest deception and you're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. If you say, well, in my heart, I have fallen out of love. Let me tell you the Bible gospel news, my friend. You've not fallen out of love. You've left love. You've abandoned it. And you say, well, Chad, what do I do? What the text says. Go back. Remember when you did fall in love. Remember how you felt when you met. Remember what you did when you first met. And then repent. Repent that you've gotten distracted in life. Repent that you've allowed Satan to come and deceive. Repent that you've allowed yourself to drift. Repent that you've allowed the situation to get where it is. And then what do? Then you redo. You go back to what you did when it first happened, when you first met. Now, is that a blanket statement to every single marriage? No, no, it's not. I realize that there are many of you who you didn't choose, you didn't want. If things could have been different, you would have chosen that path. I know that, and I think the Lord knows that. I'm not throwing stones because of some things that cannot be helped or changed. But I'm saying for those of you right now that's in a struggle in your marriage, this is as much a word for your marriage as it is for your Christian walk. Love is a choice. And you know what the odd thing is? Listen, when you make the choice, the love comes back. Because remember, you didn't lose it. That's not a biblical principle. It's that we walked away from it. God can heal. God can restore. God can redeem. And for those of you who are listening, who you would say, I would choose that path in a second. But that wasn't my story. And God, that's not the way it worked for me. Well, let me tell you, my friend, God still redeems. God still restores. Amen? So often the church treats divorce as though it is the unpardonable sin. And it's not. Even post, God still restores. So, those of you that are struggling right now, those of you who you don't know if your marriage is going to make it, let me lovingly refer you to this passage. Go back and redo what you first did, and the love will come back. Now, what's he say next? Verse number 5. Well, here's the solution, church. If you've lost your first love, remember, repent, repeat. I sound like my Baptist roots, don't I? Remember, repent, repeat. 3 R's. But notice what he says. If you do not do this, what does Jesus say? I'll remove your candlestick. Sadly, if you Google the city of Ephesus today, do you know what you'll find? It's in ruins. And for centuries, there has not been a church of Jesus Christ in Ephesus. For centuries, the church has been absent. History tells us they didn't repent. I think what this scripture is telling us is that even though the external works of a Christian may look good, what Jesus truly measures, what Jesus really pays attention to, is the internal, your heart. Have you drifted from the Lord today? Was there a time that you were more committed than you are today? Was there a time that you were more fervent than you are today? You know, as I meet Christians from every walk and every background, and I have a lot of conversations, my ears always perk when I hear a Christian use over and over the word "used to." Oh, I used to do this. I used to serve here. Oh, I used to be involved in that. Oh, I used to teach that. Oh, I used to do that. My friend, if "used to" is one of the main words of you describing your service to the Lord, my friend, it may be that you've drifted some. It may be that you've not even realized the baby steps you've taken from drifting away from your first love. Let's pay attention to this scripture today. Now, he says, if you don't, I'll remove you from the candlestick. We know that happened. But now watch what happens. This is very interesting. Verse number 6. Jesus said something fascinating to me for this culture. He says, and you've hated the Nicolaitans. And listen to what he said. I hate the Nicolaitans too. Huh. Isn't that something? Now this was a crazy sect who, you know, they, you know, perverted the gospel, and Jesus said, I hate them. What a word that this culture needs to hear. Because have you noticed how this culture is just like, oh, God just loves everything and everyone. Well, Jesus doesn't hate nothing. Have you read the Bible? Right? What this tells me is there's a side that Jesus is aligned to, and there's a side he's not aligned to, and I don't want to be on that side. I want to hate what Jesus hates, and I want to love what Jesus... Oh, but Chad, Jesus doesn't hate anything. Read your Bible. And now this is the most fascinating point of the text to me. What have we learned today? Well, we've learned what the city of Ephesus is. We've learned who the angel is that he's writing to, but we've learned that Christ is the head of his church. The pastor may give account, but Christ is the head. We've learned that Jesus walks in the midst of his candlestick, and we see that his attention is honest, and because of that, he knows our works, and he knows our toil, and he knows our patient endurance. He knows our disciplined godliness and not tolerating wickedness or falsehood. He sees our patient endurance and how we've not grown weary. But we've seen that Jesus also has a problem for those who've drifted, for those who have left or abandoned their first love. But he don't leave us hanging. He doesn't say you've left your first love and therefore it's all judgment. No, he gives us the answer. He says, remember from where you've fallen, repent from what you've done, and then redo those precious works. And then the love comes back, amen? Because love is a choice, not a feeling, not an emotion. Then he says, you hate the Nicolaitans and I hate the Nicolaitans. But now watch what he says, verse 7, and this is where I finish. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, is Jesus talking about physical hearing? Most certainly not. Wouldn't deaf people be in trouble? Just like Jesus isn't talking about physical eyesight when he told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. He didn't mean physical eyes. He meant spiritual perception. You'll not perceive the things of the kingdom. Wouldn't I be in trouble if he meant eyesight? Someone can lose their hearing and still hear the Spirit of God. Someone can lose their vision, take it from me, and still see the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. So he says, he who has an ear, It doesn't mean our ears. It means that inward hearing, that effectual hearing. My sheep hear my voice. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. Let me tell you, as I preach Sunday after Sunday, I plead with the Lord. Don't let people hear me. Let them hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then watch what he says. Now, this is so beautiful to me. It says, to the one who conquers, he will eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Now, remember, the church failed. The church lost its influence. It lost its candlestick. The influence of the church is no longer in that region and hasn't been for centuries. I believe we are the church of Laodicea. And you see what judgment is there. But notice what Jesus says. See, salvation is a personal response, and so is obedience. Obedience is personal. So do you know what this scripture is saying to me? Chad, I'm not going to lump you in to everybody else. No, if you conquer Chad, if you overcome sin, if you overcome the evil one, then I will grant it to you to eat of the tree of life. You know what that tells me? Church, let me tell you, in a room this size, there's a whole lot of people not serious with God. You can live like hell through the whole week. You cannot take your faith serious. You can be fake all you want to be fake. You can be a phony Christian, but when it comes to me and my house, I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to take my faith serious. Amen. You can live however you want to live, but I'm not going with you. To the one who conquers. And what an encouraging word it is when we look around at the church today in its pathetic and pitiful state. What a word it is to us when we see compromise on every hand. And we see sin oozing out of the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, no, to the one who conquers, you will eat of the tree of life. Amen? Well, let's wrap this up. The tree of life. What is the tree of life? Well, if you remember in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was also the tree of life. Adam and Eve sinned, they rebelled, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And do you remember what Jesus did? You remember what happened? They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They ate themselves out of house and home. Wasn't it terrible? No, really, it was a full calamity, an unspeakable calamity. So much of a calamity that do you know why Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden? I thought, you know, God just was really ticked off at them and said, I'm kicking you out. Make it on your own. But do you know what God did in his love and in his grace? See, what the tree of life is, it is eternal life. And when death came upon man, when death came upon humanity, God in his grace, God in his mercy, closed the Garden of Eden. Because had Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life, they would have had their sin for all of eternity. And God in his grace said, no, I'm not going to do that. So for us who overcome in this world, we who overcome the evil one, we overcome sin, we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. We overcome this sinful, perverse, and wicked age. We overcome our flesh. We overcome pride. We overcome sin. You know what Jesus promises? That you and I will have eternal life. That we will eat the precious fruit of the tree of life. Doesn't that give us confidence to move forward? And see, that's the patience that we should have. The patience to endure while moving forward. The patience to wait, but yet serve while we're waiting. Let's bow our heads today. I don't know where your spiritual life is. I don't know where your marriage is. I don't know what you're facing today, but I know this. The Word of God will speak to you if you let it. I know the Spirit of God will speak to you if you will have an ear to hear this morning. Do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church? What's He want to say to you? Perhaps today, you're contemplating just how far you've drifted. And you're thinking about that. Why don't you repent this morning? I'm not asking, have you repented of all of your sins? I'm asking, have you left your first love? Are you doing the works? Some of you are on ministry teams. Some of you are serving in amazing capacity. And Christ sees that. And I thank you for that. But don't miss the boat today. Don't miss the main point that you can have all the works but have drifted away from Jesus. You know, David Jeremiah said it so well and it ministered to me. He said of a little saying, I was running to the Savior, but I ran into serving and never made it to the Savior. That be some of you? That you're doing all the right things, but you've lost the fervency. You've left the passion. Why don't you repent right now and just say, Jesus, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to your heart. I don't want to do the work of ministry and miss my love for you. Perhaps you're here today and your marriage is in trouble. Perhaps you're here today and your marriage fell apart and Satan's telling you God is going to punish you for the rest of your life. No, don't you believe that lie. Don't you believe that. God redeems. God restores. But perhaps today your marriage, your family is on the brink of collapse. Follow the counsel of God's word today. God will help you. Perhaps you're here today and you say, Chad, I don't work for the Lord. You know, I've got my career and I've got my family and I've got my hobbies and I've got my interests and I'm certainly not bored in life. As a matter of fact, I can't keep up with everything, but I also recognize that if the Lord looked at my works today, there wouldn't be many things to show. Perhaps the Lord's speaking to you to engage. Perhaps the Lord is putting on your heart, join a ministry team. Get involved. Help us build the kingdom of God. I don't know how the Lord's speaking to you, but however He is, why don't you just respond right now, right there where you're sitting, just open your heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for this scripture. The church of Ephesus had everything right on the outside, but not on the inside. Guard us, protect us. Let us hear what your Spirit's saying to us today. Let our heart be in the right shape, the right condition, the right attitude, the right humility. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your powerful word today. It's helped me. It has spoken to me. It has corrected me. Thank you, Lord, for your loving rebukes, for you discipline. You chasten the ones whom you love. Thank you for convicting us and correcting us because we're your children. In Jesus' name. Amen.